Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Trish Regan joining us right now.
Trish Regan Primetime.
Hey, Trish, happy Friday. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I'm even better now that I saw this awesome monster number.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, you know, they were expecting what? I don't know, 180,000? They get 260?
Yeah, there were 170 for some reports. I think the highest I might have seen was an expectation of 180, but most were looking for like around 170. You know, I even saw some as low as 150, and now this just it just blew it out. I mean, wow, almost double the amount of jobs that they thought were added. So really, really good news. And it shows how resilient this economy is in the face of everything with the impeachment, et cetera. People just keep growing. Businesses keep growing. Jobs keep getting added.
Well, you know, I was looking at this. The report on Fox this morning, and let me turn my computer down here before it gets loud on me accidentally. But one of the things they pointed out, Trish, is that the amount of money people are bringing home, the average hourly earnings were up 3.1% in the past year. I mean, a lot of people are happy with a 3% pay raise in a year. This is the economy generating this, correct?
Yeah, you know. Look, that has been a real source of concern over the last decade or so because we didn't see wages growing. And so, like, even if you were adding jobs, it was like, okay, but, like, wages aren't growing. Now they're growing. And 3.1% is keeping pace with inflation. I mean, I think inflation is a little bit lower than that, so they're growing a little bit ahead of inflation. So you've got wages growing, jobs being added. I just looked at another chart this morning, Mark, that basically measure something called underemployment. So, you know, a lot of times the left will try and say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter because those are people that are working three jobs, whatever. So they're, you know, effectively underemployed. Like they don't have one job that's like, you know, really bringing home the bacon. And this particular chart looks at it going back decades. And we haven't seen this like since the year 2000.
Wow.
Where we are right now. It's really good.
I'm glad that you pointed that out. And on the top of that, the at least China has given a little bit when it comes to these tariffs. I know they don't have the deal yet the president is looking for, but China announced yesterday that they're going to remove some U.S. soybeans and pork products from tariffs. This has got to be good news for farmers.
Yeah, it's good news for farmers. I think that, you know, the reality is the president is not willing to sign something just to sign something. And as much as the market would love it, right, they just want this done and over and out of the way. He's indicated that he's willing to take it right into the next election cycle. I actually think it's important psychologically that China hear that, because China shouldn't think that his back is up against the wall and that he's going to do something out of sheer desperation. Right. So this is it's an important sort of signaling to China. I think also he fundamentally believes it. I know that. And I've told you this, Mark, you know, when I've spoken with him in the past, he's like, look, I took this on because I care about it. And nobody wanted me to take it on. The Republican senators didn't want me to take it on. He was sort of astonished at how entrenched the elites were in Washington. And there was sort of this feeling like, don't do it. Right. Don't rock the boat, because it could be harmful to the American economy. And he's like, look, if I don't do it now, we're going to wake up in 10 years or 20 years, and we're not going to have the leverage anymore. They will have totally surpassed us. And so we need to be thinking strategically now. Nobody has before. I mean, they've recognized the problem. They just really haven't been willing to confront it head on.
Yeah, Trish, thanks for pointing that out. I got into a discussion here yesterday on the radio station with another host who said, you know, how do you feel about these foreign leaders talking behind the president's back? And, you know, how do you feel like he did at NATO? I'm like, listen, Donald Trump owns real estate inside of their heads. They don't know what to do with him. He went to NATO. He told them a couple of years ago, I don't know if we really need NATO again. They all freaked out. And now they're all contributing like something like $130 billion more than they've ever given to NATO. Donald Trump is an effective leader, and they can't stand it.
Well, he's making them better. I mean, I thought they acted like a bunch of jealous little catty high schoolers, basically.
Yes.
And I think that they, you know, they resent the fact that he sucks all the oxygen out of the room and he's doing these press conferences and everybody wants to know what he thinks. You know, don't forget, there's a little bit of showmanship that goes into any of this. You have to be an egomaniac, I think, to want to be the president of any country. So you can pretty much be guaranteed that Trudeau and Macron and the rest of them all have a pretty healthy amount of ego. And so when one guy comes in from the United States of America and basically takes all the attention, there's a little bit of, you know, they get a little perturbed at that kind of stuff. But you're right. I mean, he basically came in and said, okay, NATO, now you're going to pay up. Now Macron is saying, oh, I don't know, like maybe NATO's kind of, what did he say, brain dead, or he used some expression to kind of poo-poo NATO. And I was laughing to myself. I'm like, you see, when it's your own money, when it's your money, you suddenly become a little more critical of the organization and higher expectations of it, right? When it's the United States of America footing the bill, it's, you know, the most important thing in the world that you keep getting that money to keep NATO going. But now Macron is like, and I think it's really, you know, it's good that they're the ones actually having to put their money where their mouth is. And in doing so, they'll probably make NATO better and they'll make NATO stronger.
Yeah, I love that. You know, last night on the show, Trish, you had Louis Gohmert on there. I love him. Let me play one of his sound bites here. Hold on.
I was trying to point out, it's not Trump that is abusing the Constitution by going to court and trying to protect the institution of the presidency. It is the Congress. And so when you have somebody like a committee chairman that just decides to grab all of the phone records of people he doesn't like, that's more like a king than Trump is. Trump.
Yeah, I thought Louis Gohmert made some great points on this last night with just how rigged this impeachment hearing has been to this point.
It's really disgusting. I mean, I think that they're fundamentally cutting at the core of who we are as a country. And, you know, you think about Vladimir Putin and they talk about Russian interference in the election. I guarantee you, Vladimir Putin did not care who won. All he wanted to do was divide and conquer and make us, you know, basically start fighting with ourselves, which is exactly what we're doing. And so the Democrats, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, the rest of them effectively have become Putin's pawns. They are doing Putin's work. And the mainstream media, by the way, I'll add them in there, too. They are doing the work for Putin for him. And Louis Gohmert is right. I mean, at what point does this become harassment? There was a Democrat congressional lawmaker out today saying, we can keep doing this. We can keep going. If this doesn't succeed, we'll go back and try again. There was a former Obama administration official also saying that he was encouraging Congress to go back at it again if they don't succeed. I mean, this has turned into a kind of harassment, if you would, and it's really unbecoming. Really unbecoming of them in light of, you know, the latest, I'll just say, the King thing cracks me up. I mean, it is so ridiculous that, you know, equating this president with a monarch, for goodness sakes. I mean, and I'm, Mark, a student of colonial U.S. history, specifically the American Revolutionary War, and I grew up in one of the 13 original colonies and have always, like, loved this stuff since I was a little kid. I thought, you gotta be kidding me, when she started invoking 1776, because let's not forget what that was all about.
Right.
The reality is that was taxation without representation. That was considered a form of treason, right? Like, this is, it's taxation without representation was just not not something that any of them wanted to be part of, and that is actually why they left the British. And so I look at socialism today and they want to take, you know, your paycheck, effectively steal from you. That's taxation without representation.
Yes. Amen. Well said. Trish, will be watching tonight. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You bet. Trish Regan there with us. Trish Regan, primetime weeknights at 7 here on the Fox Business Network. Good stuff.